Amen. You can open to your Bibles to Deuteronomy 33, the text we read, and we're going to look at one verse in its context, verse 12 of Deuteronomy chapter 33, and I will begin by reading our text, and then we'll pray once more, and then seek to apply it. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 12. The context is seen in verse 1. This is a blessing with which Moses, the man of God, blessed the people of Israel before his death. And concerning the tribe of Benjamin, verse 12, Moses writes, "Of Benjamin, he said, the beloved of the Lord dwells in safety. The high God surrounds him all day long and dwells between his shoulders." One verse we're going to look at this evening, and let's pray once more. Father, we ask that you would instruct us from this text. We pray that your Spirit would help us to understand it in its context in light of all Scripture. And Lord, we pray that you would encourage our hearts and strengthen our faith and give us a word from your word that we need for this week to come. And we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you were to meet someone new, the first thing you may do is tell them your name. This is my name. My name's Josh. What's your name? And we like to know names. We like to give names. We like to give names to children. Maybe you have a tradition in your family where you call someone a certain name, or maybe you like giving nicknames to your friends or children. And when we think about giving names, we have to ask ourselves, why do we like giving names to people? Well, when we look at the Bible, we see something of the character of God. He delights to give names to his redeemed people. So we're made in God's image. We delight to give names as we image the God who gives names to his redeemed. And if you look throughout the Bible, we often see when God comes by grace to unworthy sinners, he gives them a name. You could think of Abram from Ur of the Chaldeans, this one who worshiped pagan idols. God came to him in that foreign land, and he said, your name is Abram, but now you're going to be called Abraham, and here's this promise that I'm giving to you by grace. That's Abraham. You could look at after Moses, there's one who succeeds Moses named Joshua, and if you look at the Hebrew, his name is Yahweh is salvation. This name, or the names in the Bible, they have significance. Now, when we think of names, we wouldn't really look at verse 12 of Deuteronomy 33 and think the name Benjamin has any significance, but it does. The name Benjamin, Ben-Oni, means son of God's right hand. And there is this commentary on the name Benjamin. Benjamin's described in verse 12 as the beloved of the Lord who dwells in safety, the one who the high God surrounds him all day long and dwells between his shoulders. And what I want you to see this evening is if you are a Christian, we're going to see this verse in its context, but then in light of the whole scriptures, God's given you a new name. You can literally say with Benjamin, my new name, God's stamped in conversion this new name tag on me, this new identity, and it's beloved, or beloved, you could say, of the Lord, the one who dwells in safety, the one who has God surrounding him or her all day long, the one who has God lifting us up on his shoulders. We've been given a new name. So do you like names? God says, I've given you a new name with your new identity wrapped all around it, and it's an identity that finds itself in who I am and what I'm doing for you. Moses is, as we've seen in his final days, you could look at chapter 32 and verse 50. God tells Moses he's going to go up to the hill, this mountain, and he's going to die. Moses in chapter 32 of Deuteronomy sung a song praising God for his faithfulness. When Israel was unfaithful, God remained faithful. And now in chapter 32, Moses is going to have his final words. And it's one of blessing the people of God, reminding them of really God's blessing towards them, that God by grace gives all of his people a new status and a new name that has blessing poured out upon it. What blessing is found in Deuteronomy 32, verse 12 for the people of God? Well, I want to see two things this evening. The beloved Benjamin, and how does that relate to us as Christians? And then the abundant blessings received. So the beloved Benjamin, verse 12 of Deuteronomy 32, of Benjamin, he said, the beloved of the Lord. I wanted to stop there for a moment and consider this beloved Benjamin. There's this name tag, you could say, placed on Benjamin in the Old Testament, and you could say it's a name tag full of grace. This Benjamin is one who's beloved of the Lord. He has God's divine love poured out upon him. God's smiling face is on this man, Benjamin. That's a name tag full of grace. And when this name's mentioned here, what Moses must be recalling is two things. You could think of it as in terms of Benjamin as a son with a father who loved him. You could look throughout the Old Testament and imagine Moses bringing back his readers to Jacob, Benjamin's father, who had a love for his son Benjamin and Benjamin's love for his father. Well, Moses is recalling this father-like love that Jacob had for his son Benjamin. But Moses doesn't stop there. There's a greater love than an earthly father, one that he has for his son. God says, yes, Jacob loved his son Benjamin, but the father, his father, Benjamin's father in heaven, he has a greater love for this man, Benjamin. So Benjamin's a man who has a loving heavenly father, a loving earthly father, and this name Benjamin is, as I mentioned, son of God's right hand, and you can see the intimacy or this relationship that Benjamin has with his heavenly father. It is verse 12, one where God dwells with him. God is around him. This man, Benjamin, is loved, and that love is demonstrated by God dwelling among his people. Now, if you look at commentaries in the Old Testament, some would suggest that the temple in Zion, where God dwelt in the Old Testament, part of that territory had Benjamin there, the tribe of Benjamin. Most of it was in Judah and that tribe, but there was part of a territory where Benjamin had, you could say, that access in a sense, that lineage to Mount Zion, where God dwelt with his people in the Old Testament. But that's not where Moses stops here. I want you to see that there's also a greater reality here, not only for Benjamin and those in the Old Testament for this reality of the name beloved of the Lord or son of God's right hand, but if we're Christians here tonight, this is our name as well. We could say we're a Benjamin in the Lord. We're beloved of the Lord. And I want you to look with me at Deuteronomy 33, verse 28 and 29 to see that Moses, again, as he blesses the people of Israel, he doesn't stop there with Benjamin, but he uses the same language. Speaking of Israel, not only is Benjamin having the divine favor of God and his presence wrapped around him, this one of safety dwelling in the presence of God, but in verse 28 to 29, the Lord, through Moses, says that this is a benefit or a blessing for all of Israel. Look at verse 28. It's the same language, this beloved blessing for Israel. Verse 28 of Deuteronomy 33, Israel lived in safety. Jacob lived in safety. The presence of God was with him. So too, all of Israel here in this context, verse 28, they lived in safety. Jacob lived alone in a land of grain and wine whose heavens dropped down dew. Happy are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help and the sword of your triumph. Your enemies shall come fawning to you, and you shall tread upon their backs. So there's this momentum, this moving love of God that begins with Benjamin dwelling in safety in God's presence, verse 12, but then the blessing through Moses, written down by our Lord to his people, it has this broad scope for Israel. Israel dwells in safety. Israel's a people saved. Israel has God as their shield and their help, and God who has this sword of triumph, and God who treads down Israel's enemies. And the question is we think of Israel in the Old Testament context, and we say, well, is that reality true for me in the New Covenant? Can I, as a Christian, on the other side of the cross, after the first coming of my Lord and awaiting his second coming, can I say that I'm a beloved child of the Lord, that I dwell in safety because God's with me and that his arms surround me? Or is that just for Benjamin in Israel in the Old Testament? I want you to see one text in Romans chapter 2, verse 28. As you work through God's redemptive plan through the Old Testament and into the New, we see God, as it were, defines in a greater degree who a true Israelite is, who a true Jew in that saving sense, or the plan of salvation sense, not in an ethnic sense, but a plan of redemption. Who's a true Israelite? Who's a true Benjaminite, you could say, that's the beloved one of the Lord? Is it simply an ethnic Jew and not a Gentile, or is it both Jew and Gentile who've come to Christ by faith? Is that a true Israelite? Look what Paul deals with. We've seen this before, but it's important to see that this reality shows that we can take Deuteronomy 33, verse 12, as our text in light of Christ, our Savior, because of this reality. Romans 2, verse 28 to 29, he's really defining what a true Israelite is. Verse 28 of Romans 2, for no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical. But listen to what Paul says, verse 29, but a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter, not by the law, is what Paul's saying, and his praise is not from man, but from God. So you work your way through the Old Testament and you come to the New Covenant, and Paul he's saying that circumcision in the Old Testament, what it actually pointed forward to was circumcision of the heart, regeneration. That's what the Old Testament rite of circumcision pointed forward to. It pointed forward to the New Covenant blessing where God's people are regenerated by the Spirit that's poured out for all who believe. And Paul says that a true Jew is actually one inwardly, one who's been born again. That's a true Jew. So what Paul is saying is a real stumbling block to the Jews, that a Gentile who could be born again by the Spirit of God can also be said by God that he's a true Jew, like an ethnic Jew who's been born again by the Spirit of God, because God's done the same work of regeneration by the same means, the Spirit of God, through the preaching of the gospel. So we come to the New Testament, and we realize that what was these promises in God's heart towards his people in the Old Testament, that's still his posture towards his people in the New Covenant. Those who he set his love on in the Old Testament, who believed upon the promised Savior to come, and those in the New that look back to the Savior who has come, God's posture to his people is still the same. And the same name tag that he said to Benjamin, beloved of the Lord, that's your name if you're in Christ. If you've embraced this Savior, you're beloved of the Lord. God stamped that name tag on your soul. In Galatians 6, verse 16, I won't turn there with you, but Paul addresses the Galatian church with ethnic Jews who believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ and Gentiles who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he calls them the Israel of God. What he's showing here is that the Gentiles have been grafted into the people of God. And now there's the church who has both Jew and Gentile in Christ as one people. So why do I mention that? Well, the Apostle Paul and his epistles tell us that in Jesus Christ, every promise of God is yes and amen. So if we are in Christ, as we read the Old Testament, we want to be aware of the context, obviously, of Israel, the people of God in the Old Testament. There were discontinuities, things that do not carry over into the New, but there's continuity, things that do carry over. And we want to be aware that this language that God uses toward Benjamin, well, that's God's heart towards you and I. So if someone asks you your name, well, what's your name? Tell me your name. Tell me something about you. You can say with that children's hymn that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me. So I just have to look at Deuteronomy 33, verse 12. And in my Savior, I can know that his face is shining upon me, not because I did anything, but because he delighted to save me. And he says, you're a beloved child of the Lord. You're mine. You're a son of God. You sit in my immediate presence, as it were. So that's the first point. The beloved Benjamin. Well, what's the blessing of Benjamin? What does Benjamin receive here in Deuteronomy 33, verse 12? And do we receive any of these benefits in Christ? Look what the Lord has to say about this beloved Benjamin of the Lord, this child, the son of the Most High. He dwells in safety, Deuteronomy 33, verse 12. The high God surrounds him all day long and dwells between his shoulders. What can we learn here? John Owen says, most of our problems as Christians come from the fact that we forget the privileges and the blessings that we've been given as Christians. And there's a lot of blessing here. There's a lot of benefits here that apply to our Christian life, that if we forget these benefits and forget who's with us, the one who's stamped this beloved child of the Lord upon us, this new name, if that new name tag wears off and you think it's like going to school one day and you have to write your name tag and stick it on your chest, and throughout the day the name tag falls off and others don't know your name. Well, God doesn't want that to happen to you and I. He wants us to know our identity in Christ and the blessings that flow from Jesus Christ. And there's two things I want us to pick up on. It's that if you're a Christian, you have a safe dwelling place 24/7. And also, you sit on God's shoulders. Two wonderful truths that we don't think about. But God, he uses language that we can understand. And he says, this is my love towards you, and this is how I minister toward you. You have a safe dwelling place with me, beloved child of the Lord. Look at the text. That word dwell is used two times in verse 12. The beloved of the Lord dwells in what? In safety. And then again, he dwells between his shoulders. And if you were to look at the word dwell, it's quite amazing. The word dwell, it means to sit permanently, to rest in peace and security forever. So our Lord says, if you're beloved, if you've come to me, you have a permanent, safe dwelling place with me forever, both in this life and for all eternity. And if you look again at verse 27 and verse 28 of Deuteronomy 33, again, Moses uses that word dwelling, this permanent residency that you have because you're a beloved child of the Lord in Christ. Verse 27, you can just read this, and it doesn't do justice to exposit this, that the eternal God is your dwelling place. That's who you find safety in. That's who you find permanent residency in. It's the eternal God. And if he's eternal, we know he's also infinite. That if he's an eternal dwelling place, he has no beginning and no end. That means that there's not going to be someone that pulls you out of that dwelling place one day and puts you in a place of eternal danger. Moses says, it's God, the eternal God, who's your dwelling place. And look at the language here. It's beautiful. Verse 27, underneath are the everlasting arms. Elizabeth Elliot, who lost her husband, Jim Elliot, in Ecuador to the tribes there that they sought to bring the gospel to. Elizabeth Elliot loved this verse, that underneath the people of God are the everlasting arms. And we don't see the beauty of our dwelling place if we forget the everlasting arms that are under us. It won't seem like a safe dwelling place if we forget who has his arms wrapped around us and who is dwelling with us. And so to see that, I want you to look at verse in Isaiah 40 for a moment, verse 25 to 31. Isaiah tells us who is wrapping his arms around us. It's this everlasting God, the eternal God. And if we forget this, we forget the safety of our dwelling place as the people of God. Look what Moses, or look what Isaiah has to say. Isaiah 40 and verse 25 to verse 31. It's beautiful again. You just have to read this and let this flood your soul and pray to know it in a greater degree. Isaiah 40, verse 25, the everlasting God says this to you. To whom then will you compare me? I mean, what dwelling place in this world, the Lord says, can you compare to me? That I should be like him, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high. See who created these. He says, look around. What else? He says, he who brings out their host by number, calling them by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right hand is disregarded by God, my God. Listen to what the Lord says. This is the everlasting God speaking to his people. He says, have you not known? In other words, do you forget who I am? I'm your safety. I'm your dwelling place. Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow faint or grow weary. Those are the arms that are under you, the everlasting arms that surround you, arms that don't grow faint or weary. Side note, I injured this little ligament in my elbow, and I could hardly move this arm. And my wife said, why are you moving your arm so much this morning? And I feel it. My arms grow weary. My Lord doesn't get like that. My Lord's arms never grow faint when he upholds you and I. He doesn't grow faint. He doesn't grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Here's us, verse 30, clothed with everlasting arms around us, but in ourself weak. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's what Isaiah has to say about the everlasting arms that wrap around you to keep you safe in this world and for all eternity. But if we don't want to go there, let's look back at Deuteronomy. And if you look for a moment at another text in, I believe, Deuteronomy chapter 4, or chapter 32, verse 4, in the Song of Moses, Moses speaks about God being a rock for his people. And you see David and others in the Old Testament hiding in caves, finding a dwelling place. Moses says, that's who God is towards you, a rock, a dwelling place, a place of shelter. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, Moses says, the rock, his way, and the rock is our Lord, his way is perfect. And for all his ways are justice, a God of faithfulness and without iniquity. Just and upright is he. Have we fled to the rock? The rock, William Plummer says, is Christ. That if men, Plummer writes, if they'd be eternally safe, let him look to Jesus. He is the rock, the dwelling place. Let them walk in him. Let them abide in him. Let them glory in him. The question is, do we forget that? Do we forget who he is, that he is the rock? Moses says, you've got to know that. If you're to dwell in a weary and barren land as pilgrims, you ought to know the refuge, the place of refuge, God's presence offered to you, freely given to you, 24/7. That's your safe place. So the blessing of Benjamin, the blessing Benjamin receives, or you receive as a Christian, is this safe dwelling place with God, in his presence 24/7. And this place, if you look at verse 25 in Deuteronomy 33, is a place where God strengthens his people according to their days. Look at verse 25 to Asher, a promise of God's dwelling place, one of strength for his people in their days in this barren land. Deuteronomy 33, verse 25, your bars shall be iron and bronze, and as your days, so shall your strength be. And I'll read you this hymn that I love. It's called Afflicted Saint to Christ Draw Near by John Fawcett, I believe a Baptist I forget when he was from, but he wrote this poem to afflicted saints based off of Deuteronomy 33, verse 25, that as your days that God's appointed for you, so shall your strength be, because God's your dwelling place. And Fawcett says, should persecution, should it rage and flame, still trust in your Redeemer's name. In fiery trials you shall see that as your days, your strength shall be. I remember Hetty Payne speaking about that verse, and she said, the strength that God supplies for his people is like a train. If you show up to the train station for your train tomorrow, if you show up tonight, that train's, it's not going to get there till tomorrow morning. That's the grace train. It comes when it's that day where God will provide strength for you that day. It doesn't come early. It doesn't come later. It comes for that moment. That's what our Lord says his dwelling place with his people offers. It offers strength for the day, today. Not for yesterday, not for tomorrow, but now. That's a blessing that we can't forget. But number two, look at verse 12 in Deuteronomy 33 again. There's this statement of the high God surrounding him all day long. And I want to focus, as we pull this together, on that last phrase. I think the ESV translates it poorly, and I'll give you a translation from another commentator. But it says that the high God surrounds him, Benjamin, all day long. And then it says, and dwells between his shoulders. Now, if you look at the grammar or grammatical commentaries, they translate it this way, that he, Benjamin, so Benjamin dwells upon the shoulders of the high God who surrounds him all the day. And when we understand that, I think it's accurate. That's a beautiful statement, that if you are in Christ and beloved of the Lord, you sit on the shoulders of God figuratively all the day as he surrounds you with his broad arms and his shoulders. Calvin puts it this way, that this is a figure of speech that gives the child of God a picture of a father putting his child on his shoulders. Another man, Alexander McLaren, says that this is a beautiful image, showing us the precious child riding high and happy on their father's shoulders. The father lifts him up above rough places and miry pits. That's what the Lord's saying he does for you as a beloved one of the Lord. He's saying that you're my beloved child, and though you go through miry pits and rough grounds, I'm picking you up, and I have picked you up, even if you don't realize it, and you're on my broad shoulders all the time. My shoulders, they're not growing weak. My arms are not losing you. They're wrapped around you 24/7. I've cleaned you. I've cleansed you. I've forgiven you of all your sins. I've clothe you in my son's righteousness. I've picked you up on my shoulders. You're never coming off them. That's what our Lord is saying to his people. It's wonderful. Exodus 19, verse 4, our Lord says to his people Israel that I bore you on eagle's wings through Exodus and brought you to myself. The same is true. We see that in Isaiah 40 for the child of God. It's as if God himself is lifting you up on his eagle wings and allowing you to glide and go on his shoulders into an unknown future. So what's our application from the reality that we have a safe dwelling place with God and we dwell on his shoulders? I can almost imagine our Lord saying this, look back. You look back at past trials and tribulations, and remember, it was my shoulders you were sitting on. The only way that you got through those past trials and tribulations was because you were a beloved one of the Lord, and you were riding on my shoulders, and I brought you through those storms. Look back. Remember those broad shoulders that carried you safe thus far. But also look down. Right now in the present, you can imagine from the Lord speaking to his people here. Look at these shoulders, you could say. Look down. Your legs are wrapped around my shoulders. My arms are gripping you. Remember, it's me upholding you right now. And then you can imagine the Lord saying, look forward. I'm the one who put you on my shoulders in the past, carried you all the way. I'm the one who put you on my shoulders in the present. I'm going to be the one that carries you on my shoulders into the future. You're a beloved Benjamin of the Lord, beloved of the Lord. And Moses says to the people of Israel, but but also to us through the scriptures that we've been given. Here's the blessing that we've received because God made us a beloved child of the Lord. And so as we wrap this up, I want you to look at one text as we conclude from Revelation 2, verse 17. We see again, God cares about names. Names are significant. You think of Abraham, you think of Joshua after Moses, you think of Benjamin, the named son, on the right hand of God, as it were, the beloved of the Lord. What does our Lord say in Revelation 2, verse 17? He speaks of a name again to his people. And listen, Revelation 2, verse 17, our Lord says the following. Here's another name tag that I'm going to stamp upon you on that last day when you're in my full presence in glory. Verse 17 of Revelation 2. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Here's a promise given to all of God's people. He says, to the one who conquers, we conquer through the blood of the Lamb, John will later say. We conquer because the one who bought us with his blood is placing us on his shoulders, carrying us as a safe dwelling place. That's how we conquer, by grace. The one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna. And look what he has to say. And I will give him a white stone. This is you on that last day in your Savior's presence. And he says, with a name, a new name, written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. Now that's a mystery of all mysteries, but it's a glorious reality that your Savior, who says you're a beloved child of God, I hung on a cross where my shoulders were stretched out for you. My flesh was pierced for you. I drank the cup of wrath for you. One day I'm going to come and bring you to my presence, and I'm going to say to you and give you a new name tag that no one else knows, this personal name, like a father that he gives to his son. No one will know that name except you, and that is this bond of love. And if you're not a Christian here this evening, well, I want to tell you, even as you've heard of some of the blessings that come from the hand of God for being a child of God, a safe dwelling place, the strong arms of God carrying you, the blessings can't even compare with the one who gives the blessings. And when you come to Christ, the Bible says you get the whole Christ. You get Christ himself, and that's the greatest blessing that one can see, far greater than even a safe dwelling place in this world. It's to have Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then he'll give you a new name when you come to him and say you're beloved of the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word to your people, this timeless word that can minister to us in this day and age. We thank you that all scripture has been breathed out by you and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. And we pray, Lord, in our Christian life, that this word from your servant Moses to your people would further your work in our life, that we would have a greater understanding of your love for us, and that it would be fuel and manna for our souls in the week to come, to enter this week in your strength and mindful of your love towards us. And we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.